A Quaker meeting house was on this site by 1742, but burned 10 years later. The second, built in 1754 as an offshoot of the Cane Creek meeting house near Snow Camp, was still in use in 1781. Gravestones were already in the cemetery. The 25-year-old Lee, following close behind 26-year-old Tarleton, sees an opportunity. He leads his cavalry directly down today's New Garden Road toward the meeting house here, hoping to cut Tarleton off from the main army. Now, however, the curve, trees, and sanctuary surprise Lee. The first of the British infantry has arrived at the intersection near you. The sun is peeking over the trees. The redcoats lower their muskets, and the reflections off the barrels spook Lee's horse. He falls about the time they open fire and mounts another. Just after this, Tarleton's force charges into sight from beyond the intersection. Lee orders a retreat, and they start back up the road, followed by the redcoat infantry. Neither gets far. The Continental Cavalry runs into its own infantry, who open fire on the British, halting them. Militia with more accurate and long-ranged rifles under Colonel William Campbell arrive to the left of the Continentals on what now is the college campus and add their fire. Campbell commanded the Overmountain men at the Battle of Kings Mountain, South Carolina, 5 months earlier. The two sides spread into loose lines, the British and Hessians on or near Friendly, where it runs south of the meeting house, and the Americans here on the slope of the meeting house grounds. Some riflemen go into the meeting house. They use the window and door openings to shoot, and some knock out holes between the logs. Quickly, more than 1,000 men on the two sides are firing at close quarters in these woods. The effective range of muskets of the day is less than 50 yards, half of an American football field. For 30 to 40 minutes, you are standing in a kill zone with lead balls flying by in both directions. The two sides charge and countercharge. Some sources suggest Tarleton loses two fingers here, but more recent research indicates that happened later in the day. Lee claims the British tended to overshoot his cavalry, so that their caps and accoutrements were all struck with green twigs cut by British ball out of large oaks in the meeting house yard. As more men begin to appear in the British line, Lee decides the main part of their army must be nearing. He stations his cavalry to your left to keep Tarleton at bay and orders a retreat. For the British, the Hessians take the lead in following him. The two sides continue a slow-moving fight up the road. Walk uphill into the cemetery to the rectangle of bricks in the ground. You may wish to pause the audio as you do so. After the battles here and at the courthouse, the Quakers tend to hundreds of the wounded from both sides. The meeting house is turned into a hospital, and a number of the dead are buried here, as indicated on the memorial. Just uphill is a marker to the Revolutionary Oak, a tree already hundreds of years old at the time. That marker claims the cornerstones of the meeting house are nearby, but those apparently were removed some time after.
While First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt was giving a speech at Guilford College in June 1955, someone set off dynamite under the Revolutionary Oak. No one claimed responsibility or was caught. The tree tilted over slightly, but survived until the remains of Hurricane Gracie knocked it down 4 years later.
Recall the following as you drive to the next stop. Somewhere along the college parking lot that you will see as you drive, on the right, before the main entrance onto the Guilford College campus, was the start of Tarleton's shortcut discussed earlier. It probably ran between the buildings off the southeast corner of the lot, turned more easterly across the modern college quadrangle, and continued between the football and baseball fields on the far side. Please go back to your vehicle, follow the driving instructions under Clash at the Crossroads, and use its audio clip.